Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, this time of year, it's always the best time for college basketball. It is when March Madness really kicks into high gear. And yes, I know it's April 1st, but you get the point. Final Four in men's and women's basketball, they're set. Many predictions. Who will end up being the champion? Dawn Staley going for another title with South Carolina. Will Stanford defend its title on the men's side? Can Coach K make one more run to an NCAA title in his final season at Duke? All of this makes March Madness so maddening and exciting. Tonight, we are talking college hoops. Who do you think is going to win it on the men's and the women's side? We want to hear from you. What do you think of March Madness this year as it kind of resurrected itself after kind of being in the doldrums the last couple of years because of the pandemic? We'd like to get your questions, your comments, your predictions. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Ty Grace, the head coach with the Howard University women's basketball team. They were in the NCAA tournament this year, in case you forgot. And Winston Hilton, sportscaster producer with WJLA. And that is Winston Hilton, as in the hotel. Sportscaster producer with WJLA ABC TV right here in D.C. Again, the phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Coach Grace, Winston, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. How's everybody doing?
We're all good. And Winston, thank you so much for being with us. Coach Grace, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Not that you can't talk about the men's side, but we do know that the ladies are tipping off first, and there's a game just about may have tipped off. I'm not sure if they've tipped off yet. Number one seed South Carolina against number one seed Louisville. So let's talk just first what you see in the NCAA tournament. You guys played South Carolina, correct?
Yes, we did.
So what do you see is going to happen here at least at the end of the night? Because we're going to have – it's going to be set. At least the ladies' final is going to be set after about midnight tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm actually tuned in right now. That game did tip off, actually, the South Carolina-Louisville game. And then you got UConn and Stanford next. But I'm saying it's going to be a South Carolina-Stanford final. That's my prediction for the night.
Well, Coach, that's going to be, and we're going to get to North Carolina, Duke on the men's side, but if you've got a South Carolina-Stanford, this is a rematch of the semifinal last year where Stanford won it 66-65, and it was kind of controversial, right? A no-foul call at the end. Is that something that the NCAA should want, a Stanford-South Carolina matchup?
I think a lot of people want to see it, you know, obviously after last year. And I think, you know, South Carolina definitely wants to have that moment back again. So I think it'll be a good game either way. I think the fans want to see it. Yes, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement if that's the final. But I think it's going to be excitement no matter who goes to the final. You know, March Madness is just something that everybody's looking forward to. So I'm excited. I'm tuning in, locked in right now, actually watching the game. So.
All right, so I know
yeah.
You, and it's okay multitasking because
yes,
I understand it.
Yes.
Coach still has to watch the game, so we appreciate you even being with us while the game is on. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking basketball tonight. You know, I always tend to run that Curtis Blow music when I do these shows. I think I forgot to ask for that tonight, Bobby. If you got it back there, make sure you run it at some break. Winston Hilton, talk to me, Winston, a little bit about what you see on the ladies' side with, again, as I said, we're going to have two of the semifinal games tonight, Louisville and UConn and Stanford tipping off a little later at 9:30.
Got you. Mr. Brian Bramante, thank you very much for allowing me to join you guys. Secondly, to Coach Grace, kudos to you for making history and getting Howard to the NCAA tournament and getting a Howard's first win, a historic season by you. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I know it's tough to talk about some of the teams that you may have been matched up against, but I agree with you. I think everybody is looking to see South Carolina and Stanford in the final. A lot of folks do want to, they're used to seeing UConn in the finals. They're mm-hmm. used to seeing UConn having a lot of success. Gino Auriemma obviously has had so much success on the women's side. You can almost pencil them in into mm-hmm. anybody's Final Four each and every year. But, Stanford, when we watch them play, throughout the tournament, they have so much depth. They have so much size on their team. It's really tough to take them on. Maryland found that out the hard way. Maryland only scored, I believe it was maybe 13 points in the first quarter or first half. It was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford turns it up defensively so well, and I'm not quite sure, although UConn has the most popular player in the game in Paige Beckers, I'm not quite sure if UConn's going to be able to keep up with them. As far as South Carolina is concerned, again, as Coach Grace found out, Aaliyah Boston is just a monster in the paint. She can do whatever she wants to down there, obviously averaging, double-double in points and rebounds and what have you, but their supporting cast is also fantastic with Destiny Henderson and Miss Zia Cook. So mm-hmm. it's going to be really, really tough matchup in both games. Now Louisville is no slouch either with Haley Van Lith, but I as Coach mentioned, I can definitely see a South Carolina Stanford rematch in the championship game.
I think the great thing about the men's and the women's side is that you have such great matchups. You really, for the ladies, you've got three number ones and a number two of the Final Four teams. And so you as much as Winston said, Coach Grace, it was great to see Howard make its run, make that first step, get that win, take on South Carolina. There's also something to seeing those top seeds actually sort of make it through. You're talking about Aaliyah Boston. She's the Naismith Player of the Year, right? Dawn Staley, her coach, has won the Naismith Player of the Year. Stanford are the reigning champs. And so, Coach Grace, when we see all of this, I want to back up just a little bit and talk about your and Howard's experience in the NCAA tournament, getting that win this year. What does that do for a program, right, that's maybe not expected to do that? And what does it do for your program specifically?
Well, first, I just want to say I'm extremely proud of my team. I mean, to be able to accomplish what we did this year was just tremendous. And thank all the people that supported us. Winston, thank you for recognizing us and people paying attention to what we did, here down in DMV. We had so much support from everyone throughout that time after winning the MEAC championship. So it was just a great time, and I just want to thank everyone for the support. Really appreciate it. And so it meant everything. I mean, as you guys know, we hadn't won a conference championship for 21 years. So that was the first part. And as I told many people, walking into Bird Gymnasium every day and seeing that banner up, with 2000 on it, and you just get reminded every day. So people ask me, well, what does it feel? And I'm like, well, we never forgot. We knew, what it was every time we walk in, while we're stretching, while we're shooting, we see that one banner hanging up. And to be able to put another banner, a championship banner up in Bird was just amazing for our team. It meant everything. And then when we got selected to participate in the tournament and won the conference, it was just another stepping stone for our program. When I took the job over, that was one of the things I talked about, competing for championships and going to NCAA tournament. So to see that actually come true for the program and these young women, it was amazing. It was a great experience. I was couldn't be more proud. I was just happy how we represented Howard. I know we didn't get the outcomes yet. South Carolina is an extremely tough team, which I think everybody that even played after us saw that. Obviously, they're in the championship. So, everyone got a little taste of it, so I didn't feel too bad. But it was just a great experience. It meant so much for Howard to put us on the map. and for us, for everyone to see an HBCU be in the tournament and compete and win a game in the tournament, it was amazing. So I couldn't ask for anything else. It was one of the best experiences I've had as a coach.
And I should mention, and we mentioned this in the newscast, that Chris Paul, a great player with the Phoenix Suns, was named to President Biden's HBCU advisory board, and Chris Paul is a big supporter of
yes.
HBCU programs, so we should mention that.
202. And Taraji P. Henson as well.
Yes, correct. One of the local ladies here.
Yes, and a
Howard grad. 202-319. Look at the coach up on all the news. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. March Madness is sort of building up to a crescendo here on April 1st. This is the time of year. If you're a college hoops just fanatic, this is what it's all about. We want to hear from you. What are your predictions on the games that are happening right now and will happen a little later tonight, and then the games on Saturday and the ladies' championship on Sunday, and we'll be back on Monday when the men play in their final. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Winston, you had mentioned UConn, and when we're talking college hoops, especially on the ladies' side, obviously, you can't talk college hoops without talking Tennessee, without talking, in the last 20 years, UConn. This is their 22nd Final Four appearance. But here's what is interesting, Winston. They're 11-10 in the Final Fours. Now, you got to get there to get a chance to even win the title. But,
absolutely.
11-10, so they're the number two seed and the others are the number three on the ladies. I know you gave me your winners, but does experience in some way matter for Gino Auriemma and his team? Or is it not the same, seeing the turnover that you get in college?
I believe experience is a great thing. You look at a team like Louisville. They don't necessarily have the same Final Four experience as, say, the other three teams that are currently in the Final Four. So when you look at that, you look at some of the players that UConn does have in their program, A.Z. Fudd, McDonald's All-American. Paige Beckers, All-American. Coach Auriemma has so many All-Americans in his program and have had so much success even before getting to UConn that it's almost like game time for them. As soon as they step into stores mm-hmm. in that program, they're already have that championship mentality, and therefore it sometimes carries them in games where they might be in a game against a team that might not have the same talent level.
Yeah. And that matters. I want you to hold your point just for me real quick, Winston. I'm going to let you finish that. I want to make sure we get WB in, who's been waiting on the line. Get a phone call in real quick before we got to jump over to the other side. WB is calling from Northeast D.C. Go right ahead with your question or comment. I think you're about to pivot over to the men's side. Is that right,
WB? I'm going to say this. It's about time after this week. Look, if Duke wins, Mike Krzyzewski is going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Going to be, WB? Isn't he already?
Well, this will seal the deal right here.
Okay.
And then you got Hubert Davis with the North Carolina Tar Heels, who already won a national title
mm-hmm.
as a player.
Yep.
Could you imagine him being the first black head coach to win, beat Duke, and have his cake, winning the national title on Monday night on CBS?
I'm going to tell you, WB, we're going to have the TV on. We know the coach is watching the ladies' games right now. We're going to try to watch them all. I can't really see them right now, so we're going to rely on Winston and the coach to sort of fill us in as we go through the show. But stay right there if you're on the phone lines. We're going to take a quick break. You can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. So the Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3. Phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Oh, welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I am Bramonte Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and we are talking basketball. I got to say, that's one of my favorite songs. Bobby Adams, you're the man. You pulled that out. I asked for it, and you brought it. This is the Insight segment. We are talking college hoops basketball tonight. It is happening. The women's NCAA Final Four has begun. Louisville taking on number one seed South Carolina at this moment. UConn and Stanford later tonight. Tomorrow you will have North Carolina on the men's side taking on Duke and Kansas taking on Villanova. I think we lost WB. I was going to have him finish his point, but if he comes back, we'll let him finish up. I think he had a little bit more to say. WB, will you finish with your point about the men's side?
Well, the men's side to me is this. It has been one of the wildest Final Fours ever. You had four Davids and four Goliaths. And you talk about one of the most toughest. I mean, I thought Arizona was going to win, but they got knocked off.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody. But when you look at Duke and you look at North Carolina, I'm not going to be able to watch the TV because it's on TBS. But the sad thing about it is whoever wins that game is going to be at least will win the whole thing over either Villanova or Kansas.
All right, WB, you have set the plate now. I don't know about that, so I'm going to let Coach Grace and Winston jump in on that. Here's what we know, Coach Grace and Winston. North Carolina, Duke, most folks are saying, man, this really should be the national championship game. First time these two ACC behemoths have ever even met in the NCAA tournament. It's the last season for Coach K. As WB said, Hubert Davis, sort of, they weren't even sure if he was going to even make it into the tournament. Villanova and Kansas, they have their story. Villanova has won two national titles in the last 10 years, might have been the last 5 or 6 years. So on the men's side, you've got this great narrative, but Kansas and Villanova really are taking a back seat to this Duke-North Carolina thing. Coach Grace, talk about that. Is that just inevitable because of the nature of those two programs? I think, they have 11 national titles between the two?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you talk Duke and North Carolina, anybody's going to take a back seat. I don't care who you are. I mean, they're just like America's teams, I guess I'll say. You know, some people obviously bleed blue and some bleed Carolina blue. But, I mean, you talk about those two teams in the history, just them playing against each other, it's going to overshadow anything else. But you got four experienced teams. You know, Villanova's won a championship, Kansas. So you got teams in there that people are going to pay attention to and that obviously they're rooting for. But I think the stars are going to be aligned for Coach K this year. I mean, the way he lost the last game, his home game, his senior night, so to speak, you know, I think that it's time and, you know, he's going to go out with a bang. I won't say who I'm the biggest fan of, but I think that's my prediction.
All right. Now, Coach, I've got to ask you a follow-up on this because, you know, you are a coach, so you know this psychology. You hear a lot of this, last game at Cameron Indoor for Coach K, their main rival comes in, nobody expects them to win. And again, like I said, they were somewhere near on the bubble of even making the tournament. North Carolina beats them. And so part of the conversation now is like, oh, Duke, they are out for revenge. Coach K was apologizing for the loss. They're going to have determination. They're going to want to win it for Coach K. Does that really play a part? Is that overrated, or can you tap into that as a player and or coach?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you definitely can tap into that, but they've been there so many times. You know, the experience, I think, definitely runs deep with Duke, obviously. And so they're not going there just to be North Carolina. They're going there to win a championship. They don't care who it is, whether it's North Carolina, Villanova, Kansas. I think that, you know, they're going to tap into the fact that we've been here. We've done this. This is what we do. I think that's the mentality, not necessarily we have to be North Carolina. I think they're like, it's time for us to win the championship, and we want to do it for Coach K. And we don't care who's in front of us, who it is. I think that's the mentality. So I think they tap into both sides of wanting to get that revenge, but they've been there before, and, you know, they're going to try to do it no matter who's in front of them.
Winston, when we look on the men's side, as I rattled off, like I said, I think six titles for Duke, six for North Carolina, five for Duke, that's 11, mm-hmm. three for Villanova at 14. Kansas has two, or am I missing one there? So I'm going to go conservative with two. I know they won one with Larry Brown, and am I missing my numbers? But you get
Bill Self, I believe, 1-1.
Yeah, yes.
No, I think it's two. I can't think of two.
Yeah, I think they've got two. So we've got, 16 national titles of the final mm-hmm. four teams on the men's side. What's your assessment on the men's side, Winston? Who do you see coming out of this first, getting to the championship game, and then the eventual winner?
I think where the battle lines are drawn was that last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. When North Carolina and Hubert Davis and Amado Bacot came in and they upset Coach K's swan song at, you know, with the Cameron Crazies down in Durham, North Carolina. I think that gave the Blue Devils a huge chip on their shoulder. It gave them a bunch of motivation, and Coach K is already a master motivator. He's won gold medals with Team USA. He's won, like you said, the five national championships at Duke. He's going to have his guys ready to play. With that being said, I believe Duke will end up taking North Carolina out. I believe that North Carolina is probably a year away. They have a lot of young players that are ready to go, even though I believe Bacot may end up leaving for the NBA. But there are a lot of younger players that are there at Chapel Hill, and I think they were probably a year ahead of schedule. As far as the other national semifinal, it's hard to go against a team that plays great defense, and Villanova is that team that does that. It's almost like he has an apartment here in D.C. because the amount of players that he play that he gets to come from the DMV to go up to Philly to play for Villanova, it's insane. Justin Moore, one of their star players, even he ended up getting hurt in the final minutes of the Elite Eight game that sent them to the Final Four. Justin Moore, even though he's hurt, there are still other players from that Villanova team that are from the DMV, and they are always ready to step in. Villanova only gives up 55 points per game. That's average. And that will probably lead them over the top of Kansas. Now, Kansas, they have some players. Agbaji, Wilson, Harris, I mean, those guys, you know, they could probably go into the NBA today. So it's going to be, again, on both men's and women's side, all the matchups are fantastic. I'm just excited to watch some basketball.
Yes.
And definitely, you mentioned defense. We're going to see that on the ladies' side. You have defensive teams. You know, oftentimes you just kind of want to see offense, offense, offense. But to me, if you don't have some defense in there to sort of make a stop, to make it exciting, to get a block shot, and if you just have folks just running up and down the court, I think that kind of takes away a little bit from that. Coach Grace, before I go for the next question, we're going to ask you for the score update since you're watching the game. And Winston, you might be doing the same. You got an update for us, Coach?
Absolutely. It's 19-14, South Carolina, 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
And see, where else can you get this? You've got great conversation. You get updates on Final Four games. Let's 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking hoops tonight, specifically the March Madness NCAA tournament. We're down to really the final eight, but it's the final four on the men's side and the final four on the ladies' side. Our guest tonight is Ty Grace, head coach of Howard University's women's basketball team, and Winston Hilton, sportscaster and producer with WJLA ABC7 here in D.C. Coach Grace, let's talk a little bit about just college hoops and the tournament. Last year we had the NCAA tournament, but you had really minimal folks in the stands. I don't know if there were any people there, but I guess there was just a small amount, right?
And I think family.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the year before, no NCAA tournament whatsoever. So do you think that kind of slow crawl back to normalcy kind of has heightened the excitement of March Madness this year, or is it at the level where it normally would be anyway?
I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, COVID was such a big challenge with that last year, and people not being able to get to the stands and get to the games and seeing their family play. So I think it was definitely heightened. People were itching to get back into the stands and get into these arenas and being able to support people in person. So I definitely think, you know, everyone was just ready to go. As soon as they were allowed to be out and be allowed to be in the stands, people were like, let's go, let's get there, let's go support. And I think women's basketball, obviously, as you can see, you know, it's just imploded in terms of fan success, and South Carolina being one of the nation's top in fans in the country. I think they sell out 18,000 every home game. I mean, Dawn Staley's done a phenomenal job. I think Arizona's another school does the same. Obviously, we know what UConn's done over the years, but I think women's basketball has just been it's just been awesome how to see the fans get back into the stands and be able to go support these young women. So I'm just happy that we're back and that they're able to do it. So it's been great to see.
What's the difference for a player, Coach, having fans in the stands or no fans? Is there a difference in performance, attitude, approach when you're on the court that you saw in during this pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. I think the players are still going to perform, you know, no matter who's there. But, you know, that's what they call a sixth man, right? I mean, a lot of these home games, that's your sixth man or however people want to describe it. But I think that gives them an extra energy. It gives them a boost. You know, when they're playing, it gives them extra confidence. When people are just cheering and supporting you, it's definitely a mental game as well. We always talk about that. So I think that having fans in the stands definitely helps these players elevate their game. They want to perform. They want to be on a big stage. And I think, you know, having people being there definitely enables them to do that, and it's a big part of why they're successful.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking the NCAA basketball tournament. Who is your choice for champion on the men's or the women's side? And what's your sense of the college basketball season this year up to this point? Has it gone the way you expected? Are you happy that the NCAA tournament is back on and kicked into high gear? Or could you care less? We also would like to know if that's your point of view. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Winston, on the sports reporters, producer side, tell me what having the tournament back means for you guys and just having that content, right? That storyline to be able to cover. What does that mean sort of for the product that you put out there? Because we know no matter what side you're on, content is key, right?
Absolutely. With sports and with television, you definitely need highlights. And, you know, with a lot of sports, there's a lot of emotion involved as well, as Coach was alluding to with the fans in the stands. And when we are telling stories, we try to tell it with the emotion that is captured within that moment. You always hear about buzzer beaters in March in the tournament. There's a lot of motion in plays like that. So we try to capture that, and those are some of the moments that drive really well for us as far as highlights are concerned. Like I mentioned before, some of the local players that are still involved with the Final Four, we try to tell their stories. Content, like you said, content is king, and we try to localize some of the stories that are involved. Even though there are no local teams involved, there's still always, I always say, D.C. is a great basketball town, and we put out a lot of great historic Hall of Fame talent on all levels, and we try to tell those stories to a lot of our viewers.
Well, you know what, Winston? We have got to get to that point, right, where the stories we can tell is about the local players making the local team progress in the NCAA tournament. That's the next level we've got to get back to. And so funny you mention that, because today, I think, is the 20th anniversary of the University of Maryland winning its only national basketball championship, my alma mater. Of course, I had to squeeze that in there. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We're talking college hoops. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and yes, we are talking basketball. Coach Ty Grace, head coach of the Howard University women's basketball team, tell me what the success that you've had this year and the notoriety that you got for your win in the NCAA tournament. Does that do anything for HBCU programs?
Yes, I think it does a lot. I mean, obviously, we try to recruit nationally and, you know, try to find the best student athletes for Howard. But being able to be on the stage that we were on this year definitely gives us so much more exposure to people to see that, you know, coming to HBCU, the stigmas that we have, you can come and win. You can come and compete. You can come and be developed into a total person. You can come and be on the national stage. So it definitely helped us in a lot, in so many regards, not just for the basketball program, but for the university as a whole. So I was glad that I was able to be a small part of that, and hopefully we can keep it going.
What do you think, Winston?
Oh, absolutely. Howard, as a HBCU alum, from Norfolk State University. Unfortunately, Coach Grace knocked us out in the PEI championship game. But
I'm sorry, Winston.
No, trust me, it is okay. But yes, I think with some of the newer implementations of some initiatives like Chris Paul hosting some of the HBCU classics, the HBCU game at the NBA All-Star Weekend, it puts HBCUs on a bigger platform in order to let the world see our stories. And to see Coach Grace go to an NCAA tournament and get a win, it just gives us more fuel to add to the fire that is already blazing hot as far as HBCU athletics are concerned. If we can get more of that as far as football is concerned, Coach Deion Sanders down at Jackson State, he's starting to do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the sky's the limit as far as HBCU athletics is concerned, and thanks to Coach Grace for, you know, getting Howard that win. I think Howard, as well as the men's team with Coach Blakeney, is on the right path as well. So there are brighter days ahead on the Hilltop.
Coach, yes. I'm sorry, go right ahead, Coach.
No, I was just agreeing and thanking Winston for that. We definitely are going to keep trying to forge this thing forward.
Coach Grace, tell me, what do you see as the reason for Coach Mike Krzyzewski's success at his time at Duke? I mean, this is his 13th Final Four. He passes and breaks he goes past the legendary John Wooden with that mark. This is his last year coaching. What has been the key to his success that you've seen from afar or even up close?
Well, I had the pleasure to meet Coach K when I was coaching at West Point. He came up and did a speech to some of the cadets. I was assistant coach at the time. You know, before he went to Duke, he coached at West Point.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just his presence, like, he's just a man of integrity. You know, he speaks with, you know, just such passion when he talks. And I think he's, you know, a man of accountability. And, you know, he definitely has a love for the people that he comes and encounters with. And I think you see that through his players and how his players speak about him and how they talk about him. And I think he's just built a foundation on some of those pillars, you know, just integrity, accountability. And you see it with the way the players play, the way the coaches he has on his staff. So he's leaving this legacy, you know, in basketball that, you know, hopefully we'll continue to see through other coaches. But I think those are some of the things that you see with Coach K. And I've been a fan for a long time, obviously. And, you know, he's going to be missed. And obviously people are going to continue his legacy on. But, you know, people got to take over and hopefully step in and fill those shoes.
Well, that's
a
great connection you have to Coach K and West Point, and we should also mentioned that, you know, Coach K was an assistant under Bobby Knight at West Point. So
yes.
That's quite a trifecta, Coach Grace, Coach Knight, and Coach Krzyzewski. Winston, what are your thoughts on Coach K and just the amount of success that he has had at Duke? And sometimes that's hard for me to say because I mentioned I went to Maryland, and, you know, Maryland used to be in the ACC, and just we couldn't have a whole lot of success against Duke, even though Lefty was a Duke grad, the former coach at University of Maryland. But what do you see here as the keys to his success as a sports journalist, sort of looking at it, you know, in a broader sense?
Bramante, I was just about to say I'm surprised by all of the love from a Maryland grad.
I'm being a journalist right now.
Yes, I understand. I will say, as well as a Maryland fan, you know, you may have hardened to him initially, but winning is the key. When you have a winner such as Coach K on, like I said, various levels in the Olympics, with Duke basketball, it's infectious. And as a journalist, you obviously have to cover the winners because they continually win. They continually stay in the news. As a fan, you see his teams, you see his star-studded players, such as Grant Hill from Reston, Virginia. You know, you see these things and you just have to, you know, you're almost in awe of how long his longevity and his success.
Mm-hmm.
So that again, winning is the end all be all as far as athletics is concerned. Athletics is concerned, not coaching, because coaching involves, yes, winning, but it also involves character building, personnel development, and what have you.
All right, great point.
And he's great at all of that.
Yeah, and you definitely hear that from his former players. In our last few moments, I'm going to give you both the floor to make your selections. I know you kind of hinted at it earlier in the show. So I'm going to start with you, Winston, your eventual winner on the ladies' side and on the men's side.
Okay, on the ladies' side, I have Stanford knocking off UConn, and I have USC also beating Louisville, which I'll give the update at halftime. It is South Carolina 34, Louisville 28. And then the championship game, I think South Carolina and Dawn Staley from University of Virginia will end up cutting down the nets for the women's side. As far as the men's side is concerned, again, I see Duke beating North Carolina, a little bit of revenge for the Duke home finale at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And I see Villanova, again, mm-hmm. The defense speaks loudly to me as far as that game is concerned. And I could see Villanova taking the championship for the third time in 6 years for Jay Wright.
All right. Coach Grace, we've got about 30 seconds. Your pick for the final game, championship game, and the eventual winner on the men's and the ladies' side.
Yes. First, I want to just shout out all the DMV players that are playing in the tournament this weekend. So I got to say that. I'm from New York, but it ain't where you're from. It's where you at, and I'm in the DMV right now. So shout out to them. I got South Carolina for the women to win the championship. Like, I think Dawn Staley is going to make it happen. That defense that you talked about is going to prevail, and they're going to come out, and she's going to be cutting down the nets again on the women's side. On the men's side, I think it's going to be a Duke-Villanova final, but I think, like I said, it's, you know, it's the way to end the story for Coach K, and I think they're going to be cutting down the nets on Monday.
We are going to be watching. She is Ty Gray's head coach with the Howard University women's basketball team, and he is Winston Hilton, producer and sportscaster with WJLA ABC7 here in D.C. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us for this great conversation.
Thank you.
All right, before we leave, we should give you an update. It has come out today that Will Smith today resigned from the Motion Picture Academy following the Oscar night slap of Chris Rock. Smith, in a statement released today, said he will fully accept any and all consequences for his conduct. He said, "My actions at the 94th Academy Awards presentation were shocking, painful, and inexcusable." Film Academy President David Rubin said Smith's resignation was accepted, and the academy will continue to move forward with its disciplinary proceedings against Mr. Smith for violations of the academy's standards of conduct in advance of our next scheduled board meeting on April 18th. Smith finished up by saying he betrayed the trust of the academy, deprived other nominees and winners of their opportunity to celebrate and be celebrated for their extraordinary work. I am heartbroken. I want to put the focus back on those who deserve attention for their achievements and allow the academy to get back to the incredible work it does to support creativity and artistry in film. Again, Will Smith has resigned from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 1st. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great weekend.